thirdsunday.com. The ninth Sunday in Ordinary Time, Cycle A. Is life really black and white? Can you believe my opponent? The television blared. His views are too radical for our country. Those of my party represent Heartland values. Really, Jesse muttered. Slumped on his couch, he sipped on his drink, then placed his focus on the flickering image. Maybe you and your opponent are both right. Jesse picked up the remote and pressed the channel button. Is life really black or white? When writers divide the world into two opposing camps, the resulting view is called dualism. It's an easy device to communicate an idea. The world consists of my group versus everybody else's group, my morality versus the world's immorality, my priorities versus the false choices of a popular culture. Notice in this dualistic view of the world, there's no middle ground. Everything's black and white with very little gray. If a writer communicates the division, they make it easier to communicate their idea. Dualism and exaggeration. These devices are convenient to use. Heck, I use them a lot in my writing and on these podcasts. However, these devices sometimes hide the reality of the human condition. The two opposing camps are actually two poles connected by a continuum. In other words, we slip between true extremes in behavior, attitude, and morality. In faith, we constantly fight the battle between narcissism on one hand and total focus upon God on the other. When St. Matthew wrote his gospel, he used dualism and exaggeration to make a point. In Matthew 19:12, for example, Jesus spoke of disciples who would spread the good news as those who would become eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven. If Matthew meant the phrase to be taken literally, few have taken him up on the verse. Certainly I won't, but that's not the issue. Matthew used the language of exaggeration to make a point. In the case of becoming a eunuch, Matthew actually meant that proclaiming the kingdom was far more important than the cornerstone of society, marriage. Not everyone who shouts, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who proclaims the power of Christ, casts out demons in his name, or performs miracles as a Christian will receive eternal life. What are we supposed to do with those statements from Matthew? Hey, Jesus, aren't you setting the bar a little high for us? All right, relax. Again, Matthew is using exaggeration and dualism to make his point. He used the poles of selfishness and self-giving against the backdrop of the final judgment to present his audience with the challenge of personal devotion. In other words, how can we place our focus squarely upon God and honor the needs we have? Sometimes we display our faith without thought. Other times we're so absorbed in reflection about faith that we fail to act. Sometimes we build ourselves up before fellow Christians. At other times, we remain silent about our faith in fear of offending others. Between action and reflection, fear and pride, self-absorption and self-abasement, how can we promote our personal devotion to the Lord? St. Matthew gives us an answer to that problem. Listen to Christ, but put his words into action. In other words, there's a time for reflection, but there's also a time for action. There's a time to show others how to be a Christian, and times to allow others to be Christians. There's a time to consider my needs, and a time to focus upon the will of God. In terms of personal devotion, the answer is not one way or the other. It's a matter of balance. The way to find that balance is to absorb the teachings of Christ and seek their wisdom. This is what Jesus really meant when he told his followers to build their house upon rock. Personal devotion of Christ in word and action is really a challenge of choice, right down to the smallest decisions. Ah, but those small decisions can build up to a larger life focus. A little white lie can grow into a monster falsehood. A small theft can grow into blind disrespect for the property of others. This challenge of choice is actually twofold. Choose the good even on the smallest level, and make the smallest evil right before it gets out of hand. This is what Moses meant when he spoke to the Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy. Today I set before you a blessing and a curse. Choose which way you'll live. True devotion to Christ requires that attitude. We have to choose. Constantly choose the good and its blessings. When we choose evil, make it right. That way, we'll minimize its curse. Unfortunately, none of us are perfect. We're all sinners. Our personal devotion somehow falls short. Our faith life doesn't really quite make the grade. We can never really gain that balance between the extremes. If you've ever fretted over that spiritual fact, consider another one from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. We're not saved by following a set of rules or by balancing our sense of spiritual equilibrium. In fact, we can't save ourselves at all. God is the one who's saving us. We realize His activity in our lives when we trust His Son. It's easy, even too easy, to describe spirituality in black and white, good and bad, light and darkness. This dualism helps explain and focus the message. But in reality, we live somewhere between those extremes, pulled between those extremes. In other words, we're all sinners in need of help. Rest assured, help is always present, for Christ is always present. The challenge is to reach out to Him for help again and again and again. He will guide us to spiritual devotion and inner peace. How have you sought God's help this week? How has He helped you in times when you were torn in the choices you faced? This presentation was written, narrated, and produced by Larry Broding. Copyright 2008. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.